It may not seem like it today, but 150 years ago, Decatur, Alabama was a significant crossroads for commerce in the South. In the days before the Tennessee Valley Authority tamed the Tennessee River, Muscle Shoals was an impassable series of rapids. That left Decatur in an ideal place for large vessels looking to travel down the river.
It's significant in that way and also for the railroad traffic. We have the east-west, and then we also have a north-south railroad here, the Nashville and Decatur Railroad.
John Allison is the Morgan County archivist.
And it made Decatur important strategically beyond the size of the community. It was a fairly small community at that time. But both sides at one point or another found Decatur significant enough that they had to devote resources to protecting it.
The town had been taken and retaken by both sides until the spring of 1864. That's when Union commanders decided to essentially destroy the town.
And it was destroyed in a most unusual way.
David Breland is director of historic resources for the city of Decatur.
Very few things were burned here. Most of the buildings were torn down, and the building materials were taken to build various buildings used by the Union Army and also as a portion of the fortifications that the Union Army set up here.
Only a few buildings were spared. The list of survivors include the Old State Bank, which still stands. So by the time late October rolled around, Decatur was pretty much a fortified stronghold of the North. It was the only Union fortification south of the Tennessee River. Confederate General John Hood was now in a race to cut off Union General George Thomas and prevent Union forces from reassembling around Nashville. But first, Hood needed to get into Tennessee.
Hood's in a difficult position.
Again, John Allison.
He wants to move to Nashville as quickly as he can. But he has certain constraints, the length of his wagon train, where can he cross? And he's beginning to be a little more conservative in how he's playing his cards here.
Hood first tried to cross in Gunnersville, but he was worried about federal gunboats destroying any pontoon bridge he might build. Instead, historian Jonathan Bagg says Hood marches 20,000-plus troops west to Decatur.
Hood, by this time, sees that Decatur has entrenched fortifications, and he's not that keen to take it. But there is the pontoon bridge. And if he'd gotten the pontoon bridge, he gets Nashville. If he gets Nashville and beats Thomas there, then he can open up the Ohio Valley.
Skirmishes would break out on the first day, claiming the life of Confederate Lieutenant William Sykes.
I have seen the brave, the cowardly, the good, the wicked die, but never have I seen one who went so composedly, so rationally to the grave.
In this letter, Sykes's brother tells his family how he died.
Not a tear bedewed in his cheek, not a murmur escaped his lips. He received the fatal wound at 3 o'clock in the afternoon of October 26, 1864, and at 10 o'clock the next morning, his spotless, untarnished spirit winged its tireless flight to that other world, where morning revelries and evening tattoos are sounded on angels' harps.
It was a tough evening and day for the Confederate troops as more skirmishing broke out, but by the evening, they were able to push forward to a ravine about 500 yards from the Federal line.
Our boys had another cold night, but now they were close to the Yankees, but this would not hold when the morning came.
Baggs reads from an account of the battle from the Daily Richmond Examiner.
On the morning of the 28th, despite another dense fog and developing the entrenchments, Federal skirmishers moved forward under cover of the fort and drove our skirmishers back.
This last action forced General Hood to withdraw his army. He decided he couldn't afford the casualties from a full-scale assault. General John Schofield's men were able to make it to Franklin, Tennessee, and settle in, much to the chagrin of Confederate General Hood.
Hood was so enraged, he was literally pulling his hair out and screaming at his generals.
Again, Jonathan Baggs.
And he said, "We are going to attack," and he threw them into battle in the late afternoon, November 30th at Franklin, and just decimated his own army, simply because he was mad. There was no reason for that battle to have happened.
Battles of greater recognition were fought at the time, but Daniel Breland says maybe none more significant than the Battle of Decatur.
What happened at Decatur and then the subsequent battles in Tennessee that are all linked together. In my opinion, that ended the South as an effective fighting force virtually everywhere except in the Virginia area with Lee's army.
4 days in October, nearly 150 years ago, could have turned the tide for the Confederacy, if not for the men who protected the Tennessee River in North Alabama. In Decatur, I'm Ryan Vasquez, APR News.